Chiefs.
Been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, been used, gone, talked about your ex-boy, been up, down, almost to the ground. Long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long, long, long as I got him, don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. Your mother, father, sister, brother, doctor, lawyer, preacher, teacher. Long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long, long, long as I got him, don't need nobody else. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, been used, gone, talked about your ex-boy. Been up, down, almost to the ground. Long, 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 whoa. Long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus. I know he's burden bearer, I know he's heavy load sharer. I know bridge over water, I know doctor and a lawyer. Good friend when you're friendless, hold on, mother when you're motherless. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait. I got Jesus, I got him. Jesus, he's the leader of the valley. He's a bright morning star. Long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long, long, long as I got him, don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else.
Man, Tamara, great job. Well, it's good to see you all here today. Thank you for coming out. Town's a little sparse, so we didn't know who was going to show up. We're glad you showed up, or we probably wouldn't have. I don't know. But thank you so much for coming out. It's good to see George in the house, my buddy George. Give him a hand. He had a heart attack, man. Scared us all half to death. Of course, it scared him, too, a little bit. Poor Sody. It's so good to have you. Thank you for those Korean pears. I love those. Your sweetheart. We're just thrilled to have them able to be back in church. God's blessing them. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning for helping our buddy. So it's good to also have Norma back, who's been under the weather and sick. It's, you know, we don't know all these flu viruses and things going around. We trust the Lord. Amen. As Christians, there's no fear with us. We're fearless. So we pray and just seek the Lord in all these situations. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we have a wonderful service planned out. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for giving us this moment to set aside the cares of the world and our busy schedules. And to think and concentrate on you. Help us to focus on you this morning. Help us to lift you up and to glorify you in worship. And then, Lord, as we open up the word, open our hearts, Lord. We thank you for what we're going to receive. We thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. So we ask you to use the worshipers, the spoken word, for your glory. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you, to somebody. Okay, that's good enough. Then once you get too friendly, you might end up down at the Golden Corral for the big buffet, the big football buffet going on today. Have a real quick announcement, and we want you to pray about this as a church. We have an opportunity coming up to, in this starting in April, to be on local television, Channel 33, the ABC station out here. Be 33, some of you that have different cables, but it's out here. Goes all the way down south of Harrison. goes all the way out to West Plains, goes up halfway to Kansas City, where our chiefs make their home. Halfway up there, beyond Clinton, and almost all the way out to Joplin. So the demographics are good. Every Sunday, it'll be on 6 to 6:30, right before James River TV. And right before Good Morning America. And here's the great thing about it. Some of our shut-ins will be able to see it now and be part of our service. Nay, nay, you do not get to sit home and watch the service and say you've been to church. This is to get the word of God out, to preach the gospel so that people hear the word of God and that people can accept Christ. And then locally, people may come and be part of our live service here at 10 o'clock. We'll have 18 commercials every week that'll go out and announce Branson Gospel Sunday. And I will invite them to come and be part of the live production and also to watch it live. Now, there's a little cost involved. We have 50% of the money already raised. It came in overnight. Bam. Just people said, we believe we want to do it. We're throwing this out there because we believe that God is moving in this. If you want to be involved in that, you come see me. We're not going to have meetings and discussion. If you are interested in this, Branson Gospel TV on Channel 33, so that people can hear the word of God and you believe in what God is doing out here. And you want to be involved. And this is now kind of over and above your tithe. A lot of tithe comes in to help us continue the ministry. This is a gift to continue to push the ministry further. If you're interested, you come and talk to me privately. And I can give you some more logistics on it. I want to thank Tom. Tom made a couple of trips. Talked to these folks. Just pushing out so that we could have a local presence with our ministry on local television. We'll still be on Vimeo. We'll still be on Roku TV with Farm and Ranch TV. We still have that national thing going out. But to have our locals be able to maybe possibly tune in, it's a good thing. I believe this is the direction God wants us to go to help build up this ministry. So you pray about it. You come and see me. If you want to be involved and partner up with us on that, you come and see me. We're going to go on with our program right now. Are you excited a little bit? Come on. Yes. I think it's a good thing. Personally, I'm excited. Okay. I get excited about little things. Like the Chiefs. Okay. Gary Dooms is in the house. He's going to come and play. And we love Gary. Give him a great big hand. Yeah. Good job, brother. Well, most of you know that Leon and Jenny Faddis have been just dear friends of ours. I love them so much. They're like family to Denise and I. Have come alongside of us, partners with us. We're in this theater because they believed in us, and I love them. A few years ago, we had them renew their vows. Do you remember that, Leon, right up here? Jenny and Leon were here, and we had people stay after the communion. It was so lovely to see these people that had been together 60-something, 70 years. And it just blessed me to no end. It makes my and Denise's 30 years look 70 years to be together. They love the Lord. They've committed their hearts to the Lord. Jeanette is their daughter, and we got to know her. And she had a couple of words today. And she said, Dave, she asked me, could I say a few words? I said, yeah, this is the off season. And so we're going to have the podium's going to come up here because she's got a couple of notes here. But she said she'll be brief. And she has 25 pages of notes. No, she doesn't. I'm teasing. But she's just going to share a little bit about discipleship and scripture and encourage us in the faith. This is Jeanette. Let's make her feel welcome, folks.
Good morning. And I am from Pennsylvania, so happy Groundhog's Day. I hope I have a few. And it is an early spring, they say, but he's sometimes wrong. Well, I wanted to share with you some of my father's passions, because I hope that all of your children get your passions if you're passionate about the Lord. And most of you know my dad is passionate about two things, discipleship and scripture memory. And Chad, who's a young man who works for my dad, happens to have a gift for writing poetry, which Tim Hadler turns into songs. So this one is actually, they've just finished this one. It hasn't been put to music yet, but I wanted to read it for you and share a little bit about the importance of scripture memory in his life and therefore in my life and in our family. And thank you, Chad, because he's back there. I'm sure I can't see him, but he's back there. I'd like to share a story that's very dear to me, a story from my childhood about scripture memory. My parents built the habit and passed it down to me, and to this day, I practice reciting them daily. There's a scripture when you're fearful in Isaiah 41, a verse to give you courage when you feel there is none. Another in 1 Peter tells you all you need to know about your worldly worries and how to let them go. There's a scripture to remind us to stay separate from the world. Yet another verse that preaches to you, never be deterred. A word for every ailment and a prayer for every wrong. Learn to feed on His word daily and you'll never hunger long. Memorizing scripture can have a wonderful effect when done in reverent spirit to our holy architect. This simple daily habit, when practiced over time, will make you truly joyful. Yes, this practice is divine. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Chad. I love this. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. So my dad, as long as I can remember, met with other men, single time, you know, one-on-one, two-on-two, going to Bible studies. And he did all of this to help himself grow as a Christian. But also, when you meet with someone, you help the other person grow, because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. I grew up knowing that this was his mission in life, and it didn't take long as a teenager for it to become my mission. I've been known to be talking in class because I was sharing Jesus with the kid in front of me. That's, you're not supposed to do that in school. They frown on that. Well, very early in the morning, my dad started then doing Bible study with the entire family. My two sisters and my brother and I and mom and dad, we had to get up 6:30 in the morning, like you'll have to get up to listen to this show soon. And we would do Bible study, and also we would all, the kids and dad and mom, had to memorize a verse every week. And I am so thankful that that's all in my mind and in my heart, because my life was going to turn out to be a very difficult one. You all remember that Jesus' most important and final words when he was going home to heaven was to make disciples. And he told us to teach others everything that we know. And so we all need to grow for two reasons. One is our personal growth, to be equipped, and also to be equipped to share Jesus with others. We rarely go through any day without physical food, so why would we go through any day without God's word, which is our spiritual food? God renews us from the inside out. We're all getting older on the outside, but every day we are renewed by the Holy Spirit, and God heals us from the inside out spiritually. And it's wonderful to just keep feeling young on the inside, right? There are five really good ways that I've learned to handle learning scripture. One is to listen to Pastor Dave on Sunday. You hear the word of God. That's a wonderful way to get it into your heart and life. But you also need to read it. Read it for yourself. Every day of your life, you should be reading the Bible, even a verse or a chapter. Then you should study it. You should definitely memorize it. And then one of the big ones is to meditate on it. Just think about what you've read. You like to think about lots of stories and things you read, but we really need to meditate on Scripture because it's the only book that's alive and can change us from the inside out. My dad has this new way to memorize Scripture. He used to have it on cards. All of us kids had these little cards that we would pack with us, but he has a new one. My dad has a new idea almost every day, and he's 90. I almost said 91. He's 93 now. So this is last week's new thing. I love this. He took the little cards. He put them on a piece of paper on both sides. So he has 36 verses right there. He sent me one in the mail. I now live in Virginia. I folded it up, and it's in my Bible. He told me if anybody wants one of these, he'll get them for you, okay, because he wants you memorizing Scripture. So as we grow in our desire to study the Bible and memorize it, we're going to grow in our desire to share the gospel with other people. And that's become my passion as well as my father's. And many of you know we pass out Gospel of John's everywhere we go. If you want Gospel of John's to pass out to your friends, don't take a Gospel of John and put it in your house. He'll give you 300 in a box and you take them everywhere. I put them in bathrooms, in hotels, in gas stations. We never eat in a restaurant that we don't talk to the server and say, do you know Jesus? Here's a Gospel of John. This is the best book you'll ever read. And so we've given out by the thousands. So you need to do that. And he'll make sure you get them because he's got lots of them. I want to close with the Gospel of John story. And because I travel a lot on planes and trains, we do a lot of mission work. And so I wanted to share with you what happened once when I gave a Gospel of John to somebody on an airplane. This young man sat down next beside me and I started a conversation with him. And we chatted about a lot of things. But then he asked me about my family. I love it when people say, how many kids do you have? Because that is my opportunity to share Jesus. Because what I have to say to them is, well, I have four children. Two are in heaven. One is in Philadelphia and one is in Los Angeles. And that gets their attention right away because their response to me is, how does anyone survive that kind of loss? So I'm able to start by telling them, well, years before I lost my daughter, my husband was in the Air Force and died in a plane crash. Well, now I really have their attention. And so then I go through and tell them about the loss of Lacey, our daughter, from a brain tumor. And then I say, and 8 years later, we lost our son. So, you know, they're really listening. So this young man is taking all this in and he's really thinking. And I can tell they usually have a tear in their eye. And he said, how do you survive this journey? And I started to share the Gospel of John with him, tell him about Jesus. And then after we were finished, I said, so Blake, what is the most tragic thing that's ever happened in your life? And we had this is a 2-hour flight. We talked the whole time. And by the time he got off the plane, he thanked me and thanked me for this conversation, took the Gospel of John with him. He's in Richmond, Virginia, where I live now, and we stay in touch. He doesn't know Jesus yet, but I know he's on a journey. So when we went to the baggage claim that day, I didn't think I'd ever see Blake again. And we're down at the baggage claim, and I'm getting my bag starting to walk away. And Blake comes running over to me, and he literally gives me this bear hug. And he said, that was the best 2 hours of my life. And, you know, everybody you meet is just like Blake. Everybody's hurting somehow. Everybody has sorrow and pain, and they need Jesus. That's the only answer to all of their problems is Jesus. So I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to share with you all today. And may God bless you, and may you get in God's word every day and hide it in your heart. Thank you.
Hold on, Janet. Did you hear what she said? She lost her husband in an airplane crash, lost two of her children. One was 14-year-old daughter, and it happened quickly, 4 or 5 days. She's diagnosed with a brain tumor. Boom, she was gone in 4 or 5 days. Lost her other son. And it lingered for about 6 years. And I'm looking at her, and she's up here talking about Jesus, still loving the Lord, still loving God, still believing in God, where a lot of people would go through all this tragedy, all this misery, and say, there is no God. There is no Jesus. Why should I believe in him? She found the truth. And we're talking about the truth here for, as 2 John today. The truth that sets all of us free. That no matter what happens in this life, in this world, bad things, good things, not so happy times, God is still there with us and God is still on the throne. And he gets us through all those bad times. I'm telling you, this little woman, she's precious. Leon, you and Jenny did good, man. You did good. She's witnessing on the plains. And she's got a ministry going. Let's pray that God will bless her as she continues to put out the word of God. Lord, we thank you for Jeanette. And we thank you also for Leon and Jenny that had faith, the faith that can remove mountains. And they instill the faith that's unshakable in Jeanette, their daughter's heart. And even though she faced the toughest times that anyone could think about, Lord, that faith saw her through. And you were there walking with her each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for her. Bless her in her ministry. Bless her as she shares the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what we've heard today. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's blessing upon her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Man, you want to take this back or not? You don't have to, but you're so good at it. Oh, he's going to, oh, don't hurt your back. Do not hurt your back, Harry. Workman's comp. That blessed me. And we have the Gospels of John. That take a bunch. Take a whole handful. We'll get you a box. And folks, after 8 or 9 years, we are coming back. Probably starting April the 5th when we start on Channel 33 with the Gospel of John. After 9 years, we're coming back home. It was my favorite book in seminary. It was the favorite gospel as I studied it, and I resonate with it. It gets into my soul, and it's going to get into your soul. You say, well, 9 years ago, I was part of the ministry. I heard it. You're going to hear a whole different sermon. I guarantee you. Because every time I read it, I get something new and fresh. So we're going to do that. The Gospels of John, we're going to make them available. Right, Leon? We're going to have a bunch of them all around here. Take them and do what she did. Share them with people. Use it as a tract to get the gospel out. It's going to be a good time. Good time. Exciting time. Okay. We have Mikey here. Mikey, we're only doing one song today. Do you want to close it? We're working this out. Okay. We'll have Mike close. You come on. Forrest is here. Forrest Herzog. We love him. Instrumentalist of the year. And what are you going to sing for us, brother?
I'm going to sing I Won't Have to Worry Anymore.
That's what I think.
Heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary, and so sore. But a brighter day is coming. Soon I'll stand on heaven's shore, and I won't have. Troubles will be over. Savior standing at the door. Then I'll hear Him say, "You're welcome. All your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore.
Job for us. Well, I got Bernie and Tamara going to do a duet. This is something new and refreshing. Yeah. It's just good to have you guys here. What are you going to sing for us?
Well, we did this quite a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus remembered us. And He always remembers us. And this song is about He wants us to remember Him. So it's called Remember Me.
Bernie and Tamara.
Okay.
Old enough to preach.
Good, man.
It's good stuff.
I've never heard you do that before. I probably wasn't here whenever you did. It's good to see George, man. God bless you, George. I've been praying for you, man. Sody, we're all going through a lot of stuff right now, so I figured this wouldn't be good to do. It's called Through the Fire.
Many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustration gets so out of hand. It's then I am reminded that never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. Looking back at all the victories, His Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Yeah, yeah. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of the living God, He'll shield the flame again and again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and that you would not be far to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Yes, it did. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. So just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again, and again, and again.
on, that was a great worship today. Amen. Ooh. You can be seated. Oh, they just did a wonderful job today. Thank you, Gare. You know, as they were started with Jeanette sharing with us from her heart, and she had just talked to me a few minutes before the service about all that she had gone through in her life and how the Lord means so much to her. And it started me thinking about all of us, that life is incredibly short. And the only thing that matters is what we do for Jesus right here, right now, this moment. It's the only thing that matters. I went in and saw George this last week when he had another episode, and just praying with him. And George has always, to me, been the epitome of strength and health. Every time I saw, he could always work me to death when I would watch him out there doing incredible things here at our theater, helping us. And a lot of it you don't know about, but helped us build a ramp back here with Jim. Replaced and refurbished the entire men's bathroom. Jim and George did that together. And I'd come in there and they would be making it fly, man. Just boom, boom, boom. George has got me by a couple of years. Just a couple. But, and there he was on his back. And the doctors were given some intense prognosis of what was going on. Then he came through it. The Lord was really good. Gave him a good doctor. They were able to stent three areas. Open that heart up to something like 30-something percent. Which I heard this is the heart only has really 50% capacity. And so much better than what they were thinking. Then he had a blood clot. Had to go back in. There he was flat on his back again. But they were able to go right in and remove that blood clot. So the Lord was good. God still has more work for you, George. He's got you here for a purpose. And to be Sodi's helpmate and her soulmate in this life. And to continue on in the fight, the good fight. I see my buddy Kevin back there. And during Jeanette, I was watching him and thinking about his situation. Because he has the same tumor that her 14-year-old daughter has had. And I'm thinking about all that he goes through on a daily basis, to go through the chemo and the radiation. And we were out, I think it was Friday. I patted him on the knee and I said, Kevin, you're going through this like a champ. You know, when you talk to him, he gets teary-eyed and he feels bad, but he knows in his heart where he's going. If this is his time, he knows he's going to be with the Lord. I told him, you know, Kevin, if you're not feeling up to it, you don't have to come to church. Oh, I'm going to be there. He said, I might sleep through part of it. So all these treatments make him very sleepy. I want to be there. I want to be there where the Lord's people are. I want to be there at church. Next week, his sister, who came out, and it's Denise and I have become very close with also. Through Kevin, his sister came to faith and accepted the Lord. And she's part of a church out in New York. She's never been baptized. She called me up, said, Dave, I want to be baptized and I want Kevin to be there to see it happen. Because of him, I've really come to faith. And I want Kevin to be part of that. So next Sunday, right after this service, we're going to go to La Quinta, right next door. Got the swimming pool there. We can go right in there. And we're going to have a baptism. And it's going to be an incredibly joyous baptism. I remember when I baptized Kevin a few years back. We're baptizing his sister now. This is a beautiful thing. So I want you to be part of it. If you can stay away from the buffet for 15 minutes. And you can come over there and you could be partakers of something incredible and seeing someone going on in their faith with the Lord and in obedience, that's going to happen next week. You know, folks, life is short, so we need to take advantage of the opportunities God gives us on a daily basis. Jeanette was sharing how she just talking to somebody on an airplane. I bet you that young person didn't know what hit him as soon as she started talking to him. But the Lord used her in a profound way to touch him. And she shared that he hasn't accepted Christ yet. But you know what? She planted that seed pretty deep. He said that's the best 2 hours he's ever had. Gave him the Gospel of John. He's got the Word of God in his hand that he can look at and read. And we, in faith believing, believe God's going to open up this young man's heart in a special way. We all go through hard times. We all go through tough times. Life is hard. No one ever said it was going to be a free ride and just a cakewalk. It's tough. It's difficult. We all go through aches and pains. We all go through bad prognosis with the doctors. We all do. Maybe not this moment, but you will. If not now, you will. We go through those times. And it's how we go through those times that defines who we are. If we know Jesus and we've entrusted our soul to the Lord, there is no fear to us as Christians. We are victorious. We're overcomers. We do not have to worry about the future. If you don't know Jesus, there's a lot to be concerned about. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're on the right path and you're in good hands with Christ. The best hands with Him. He's going to take care of you no matter what. Even through death, He's going to take you home to be with Him forever. We're in 2 John. We're talking about some of these truths that we've been able to share. Anything that John the Beloved writes, I love. I know Revelation, the book of the Revelation, scared some of you. I loved it. I looked beyond all the things. You know what? And as they were talking about this coronavirus this week, and they're talking about people that are dying and a pandemic that could break out and an epidemic that could be worldwide. They're talking about all these things. I thought about the book of the Revelation because the book of the Revelation talks about some of the plagues that God brings upon the earth. And some of them were weird diseases that would wipe out so many people. It could happen just like that overnight. We know the end game. We know that God wins. And if we're with the Lord and with Jesus, we're going to be right there in the winner's circle with Him. So don't worry. When you see all hell breaking loose around you, disease, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, all kinds of decimation, cataclysmic events that take place, terrorist attacks on this planet, don't fret. Because it just tells us that the Lord is right at the door, ready to come. And we need to look forward to His coming. That's the truth. Second epistle of John, verse 5. Now I beseech thee, lady, talking to this woman that was a godly woman and one of the leaders in the church. You say, well, back then it was such that women weren't supposed to take charge. It's not talking about a woman that's taking charge. It's a person that probably was one of his spiritual children that he had seen come to faith. And he's encouraging this woman to stay in there with the Lord no matter what. I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. He's hitting it hard again. Love and hate. We see that going on a lot today, don't we? You turn on the news, you see the love-hate thing going on. It's not a good thing. In the world, we see a lot of this. We see love and hate. We see a lot of people that say they love and they don't know how to love in the right way. They think love is a physical thing. It's not about a physical thing at all. It's about the spirit. It says that we have to love one another. Now, sometimes we're unlovely. Sometimes we're cantankerous. Sometimes we're ornery. Sometimes we can be belligerent. Sometimes we can be stubborn. And yet, through it all, the Bible says we need to love one another. In spite of our differences, in spite of our warts and shortcomings, we need to love one another no matter what. You've heard this from the beginning. The beginning of what? Old Testament, talk about it. We talk about that. The New Testament brings it out, especially John here. He is the disciple of love. John, back in 1 John, said this. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment have we from him. That he who loveth God love his brother also. If you say you love the Lord, you have to prove it and show it by loving your brother. If you're full of hatefulness and you hate everyone and you hate your brother, probably God isn't in you. The proof that God is in us is that we love one another. That word love in the Greek is agape, which is the highest, highest form of love that's in the Bible, but it's the highest form of love that can be seen even today. It's the type of love that's self-sacrificing, self-giving, selfless love. Whereas today, normally in love, we see that people put their own needs and wants ahead of everyone else. That selfless, self-giving love is on display in Jesus Christ when he laid down his life and he died for each and every one of us. Why? Because he loved us. He proved he loved us by giving his life. We prove that we love God by loving one another and sacrificing and giving for one another and helping one another. 1 John 2 says this. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded him. Back in the Gospel of John 13, John the Beloved said this, a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus speaking, and John writing, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We have to study the Word of God. Jeanette hit us pretty good with that. Leon hits me every time about that. We have to memorize the Scripture. We have to read the Bible on a daily basis so that we understand the teachings of Jesus Christ, and especially the Gospel of John, which teaches the very words of Christ himself. We need to understand that. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to take it in. But as Jeanette said this morning, if we don't live it out in our lives, doesn't make any difference. Like I told someone, they said, oh, someone's studying the Bible, reading and memorizing it. And I knew this person wasn't living for the Lord. I was a smart aleck. I said, Jeffrey Dahmer read the Bible and believed in God. So what? Who was he? A mass murderer, serial killer, horrible monster. Read the Bible, studied it, read it. If you don't live it out in your lives, it doesn't mean a thing. And that's what John the Beloved is saying. We have to live it out, and we have to have his commandments in us, and we have to obey him no matter what. And if we don't do it, and we don't love one another, and we're always fighting and stirred up against one another, the brothers and sisters I'm talking about, not our enemies, he gets to that in a moment. But if we're always fighting, infighting within ourselves, it doesn't help. We have to love one another. Now, the one thing that binds us together is the truth of the doctrines of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Scripture. He goes on, verse 6. And this is love, that you walk after His commandments. We walk in them. We walk, in the Greek, it's peripateo, which means to walk literally, or to behave, or to deport oneself. How we live our lives each and every day. That we walk after His commandments. We live in His commandments. We behave and obey Him. That as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Keeps going back to the beginning. Beginning of what? Well, it could back all to the Old Testament. Those commandments of God. And then Jesus comes in the New Testament and gives us new laws and new commandments to follow. He said, I tell you, you've heard it from the beginning that you love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. But I'm telling you this, the new commandment, that you love your enemy. Those that oppose us, those that are atheists, those that are antichrist, in our hearts, we have to love those people that we can't stand. Love your enemies. Now, does that mean that we condone their behavior? No. Does that mean we believe their philosophy? No. Does that mean we go along with their system of life and philosophy of living? No, we don't. We stand up for what's right. But in our hearts, we love them because Jesus loved them enough that He went to the cross and died and shed His blood for our enemies. For His enemies. So that everyone would have the opportunity to accept Christ. It only makes sense that for us all to have that opportunity, that His blood was shed for all of us. We all have the same opportunity to receive Christ as anyone else. Verse 7. We got to love one another. He's talking about love. Now he's talking about the antithesis of love. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is John come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Many deceivers have come out. Deceivers in the Greek is planos. Now it's unique. Planos in the Greek. It's where we get our word planet from. It kind of sounds like a planos, planet, you know, P-L-A, you know. The word planos in the Greek means to rove as a tramp, rove around, to be an imposter, to be a misleader, wandering and leading astray. The planet out there, they rove around, and the whole universe is always revolving and moving around. Deceivers, they move around. And they have one agenda, one goal, to take you away from the truth. Now, we're not talking about people that aren't saved here. Or, let me qualify that. We're not talking about people that don't claim to be a Christian. The atheists, the non-believers, the agnostics. We're not talking about those people here. Those atheists aren't necessarily antichrist within the realm of the church itself. This specific antichrist, deceiver, that they're talking about right here, that John is bringing out, are those people that have infiltrated the church and have come into our presence as wolves in sheep's clothing. And they have one directive: to teach and pull the Christians away from the truth. They come under the guise of being Christians and agreeing about what we believe until you start talking to them, and then they start teaching their heretical beliefs. What happened in this early church here in Ephesus? In Asia Minor, where John was the bishop, the Gnostics had infiltrated the church. They were people, Gnostics is from the Greek word gnosis, which means special knowledge. They thought they had special knowledge of who Jesus was. John was teaching that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what John was teaching, the Beloved. He knew, because 3 years he had lived with Jesus, each and every day, spent every waking hour with Jesus. He knew who that man was, because he had seen the miracles and seen who he really was, seen the power. The only disciple to make it to the cross, John the Beloved, he knew Jesus. And he saw him after he came back from the grave, in his resurrection, in his glorified body. Talk with him. Spent time with him then. 40 days to be exact. He knew who this person was. He was God. And those Gnostics were saying he's not God. Jesus was just a great prophet. He was just a godly filled man. In fact, God came upon him when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Moved in him. He did some miracles. So they agreed with the miracles. But then when he died on the cross, the Spirit of God left him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said that. So that proves the Spirit of God left him. And he just died a mere mortal, just a man. That's all he was. If that's true, then Jesus is not the Savior. God came to us, moved amongst us so that we could handle him and touch him. That's what John even said. So that we could behold the glory of God, the only begotten Jesus himself. They touched him. They handled him. God relating to man, a physical planet, in a physical way, with all of our senses. He loved us. He was not just a man. He was the incarnation of God here on this earth. And John the Beloved preached it, believed it, taught it with all of his heart and soul. Now they were trying to take away the truth of who Jesus Christ was. These are the deceivers. These are the Antichrist. And John was saying, have nothing to do with those wolves in sheep's clothing. Those infiltrators that have come into the church. You know, happens today. People come into our church and they, I always want to know their background. Where are you coming from? Sometimes I ask them, what group do you belong to? And then once they tell me, I know exactly who they are and what their beliefs are. I've had some people come to me and say they want to say something in church or give a testimony. I said, where are you from? They give an answer to me. And I know that personally, I'm not in agreement with what those people really think about who God is. I'm not going to allow the New Age to come into this pulpit and to this theater and to preach like they're Christian. The New Age that says all religions will take you to heaven. All roads lead to Rome. I'll never allow that. Never. Nay, nay, as I always say. It's not going to happen. Because they don't really believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Some people have asked me if they could do this or that. I always look at their background, where they come from. I want everything that we share here from this pulpit and through music to point the right and the correct way to Jesus Christ, who he is, not to take away from who he really is. The Gnostics were trying to destroy the teaching, the doctrines of John and the early church. And John said, these are deceivers. They confess not that Christ is come in the flesh. They do not believe in the incarnation of God. That's God putting on, through a miraculous supernatural event, human flesh and becoming one of us. He that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, I've got to preach verse 8 next week. We don't have enough time to go into it today. It's an incredible verse. The warning to us as Christians and what John, these letters, these epistles are all about warning Christians to hold on to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. All of God, all of man, the God-man. He's the incarnation of God. God with us, He's Emmanuel. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He preached and taught the truth. And that if anyone else comes into this body, this church, this group of believers, or if some of you are visitors today, and someone comes into your church and he says, well, you know, I don't believe Jesus is God. I just think he was a good man. And they want you to believe their teaching, which is contrary to what you think. Get away from them. If they claim to be a Christian. Once again, if they're an atheist, agnostic, a non-believer that's out in the world, the Bible says we love them. We got to love them under the Lord. Just like Jeanette was sharing with that young man. He wasn't a Christian. But you share with them the truth of Jesus Christ. And you draw them to Christ. You bring them in. The Bible says we are fishers of men. That's what we do. We don't know who's going to accept the Lord. Amen. It may be their moment to open up their hearts to the Lord. We have to be conscientious about it. We have to be faithful. And share the good news of Christ with as many people as we can before we go out. And we have to bring them to Christ. That's our job. The Bible says we compel them to come to Christ. But we rub shoulders with them. We sit with them. We may eat at a table with them. You may call it fellowship, but we may spend some time with them. It's not talking about those people that are non-believers, atheistic, or agnostic. It's talking about those that are coming to the church and are teaching false doctrines. Doctrines that take us away from who Jesus Christ is. Now, there have been doctrines that have come into the church that are, I call, peripheral doctrines that I don't agree with and I'm not crazy about. But it doesn't have to do with who Jesus Christ is. That's the one that we have to really be concerned about. So if you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus, today's your day. God brought you here so that you could open up your heart to Him. And if you're here today and you've heard some teachings and listened to some people that claim to be Christian, but their teachings are not quite right. Maybe you confess your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I come back to you and I believe your word, the truth of your word, and get my heart right with you. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today. You came to church. If you were to die right now, you don't know if you go to heaven because you don't know Jesus. God brought you here so that you could hear the truth. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day so that you could have everlasting life. Went back to heaven, made a place for us, a home. If you're here today and you don't know for certain, if you're a Christian, and if you were to die, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Just want to give these opportunities today. Anyone at all. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christian. And maybe you've come under some teaching that's contrary to what we've been talking about here. And maybe the Lord has convicted your heart and brought you back to correct thinking and the right doctrines of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you say, Dave, I renounce those teachings that I once looked at. And I come back to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. If you're like that today, would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Lord, we thank you for the gospel that's so clear. And that we can walk in newness of life because of what you've done. I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every person that's come today, that you'll encourage us. and use us for your glory. So we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless us, we ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to thank you for coming out today. Our worshipers did a great job, Mikey and Tamara and Bernie. Just gets a hold of your hearts, these songs they sang today. Gary did a great job too. Give them a great big hand, our worshipers. We entered into worship today. We're going to have communion in a few moments. If you're able to have communion, stick around for a few moments. We have a bucket on the way out. If you're able to help with the ministry, we say thanks. If you want to talk to me anything about what we said earlier about Channel 33, and by the way, it's Channel 8 on Suddenlink if you have cable. Channel 8 on Suddenlink, Channel 33 on Dish or DirecTV, and it's our local ABC affiliate. Also, it's affiliated with Channel 3 also. So if you're interested, you come and talk to me, and we can think and pray about that. Let's all stand together. We want to thank the Lord so much that George is with us today. You don't know, I'm so blessed. I didn't know you were going to be here today. I thought you were still under the weather, but it's so good to have you. And so we love you. And they moved all the way out to Sparta. I'm trying to get them to move back home, where they're about a half mile from me, less than a half mile. I can throw a rock almost at their house. I'm trying to talk them into it. We'll pray about that. You can pray about that too. But we love them, and we're just seeing what the Lord's going to do. Lift up Kevin to the Lord. We love him. He's our brother. Just pray that God will touch him. Jim Haygood, it's just good to have you back. How are you doing, brother? Everything going okay? We've been praying for you each week, so we continue to pray for Brother Jim. We're so good to see him back with us. Carl, how's Brian doing? So he's doing better. All right. Let him know that we're praying for him down here in Branson, okay? Let's lift up Carl and Ann's son, Brian, that God's just going to continue to heal him up. Norma Jones' daughter, Debbie, and Danny, let's lift them up to the Lord. And Norma, that God will continue. She's still hacking a little bit today, but it's so good to see you. I love you right here, Norma. I know the other thing you told me about earlier, about the thing, that's real nice. I love you right here. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. Jim went, we lift him up to the Lord, that God's going to keep blessing him and helping him with his heart. Liz, Lou, and Kim Kelly, we lift them up to the Lord, that God's going to bless them. We lift up Bill Scritchfield and Richard Jenkins, that God's going to just touch them. Wanda and Bonnie are the caregivers. Let's just pray for them. And we're just talking this week, and Wanda and I were sharing. We just pray that God's merciful, you know, that God helps and performs a merciful act and helps Bill and Richard, and just encourage Wanda and Bonnie in the process. They're going through this, and it's not an easy thing. So we love you, Wanda, and all you do for us, and Bonnie too. Continue to pray for my mom, up and down, up and down. She has some good days, and then she has some bad days. Just pray that God's going to touch her. Ray and Pat Knight, lift them up to the Lord. That God's just going to bless them. The Harpers, Don and Cheryl, we love them. Leon, let's lift him up to the Lord. It's so good to have him in church today. Catherine Ritchie's sisters, Angie and Teresa, let's just lift them to the Lord. We're going to give these all to the Lord, and then we'll dismiss and we'll do the communion. Lord, we thank you that you're the living God and you hear us. You never sleep, you never slumber. 24/7, you're there. We thank you that we can call out to you in the darkest of nights, and there you are. We pray for everyone that we've mentioned, those that are sick, those that are infirm, that you'll encourage them and bless them and help them. Those that have lost loved ones, those that are going through financial problems, those that are struggling. Lord, I ask you to lift them up and encourage them. But Lord, I just pray that you will help me as a pastor to lead us in the right direction. And Lord, that you'll give me the vision for this ministry in the church, that I will never do anything amiss, but I'll go in the direction that you've called us to go in, to get the word of Christ and God out to as many people as we can. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless each and every one of us. Send us on our way rejoicing. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Oh, my soul, praise you.